Run DNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The Run DNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into Run DNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to Run DNA.
Welcome to Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's weekly sports wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define sport across South Australia. It's time for Hooked on Sport with two-time Bradman medalist Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Hey guys, how are you going this week?
I'm going really well, Soph. Nice to see you, Wallace. And just looking forward to the apology that I'll be receiving from both of you guys. I imagine that is imminent. And I imagine that you want to get that out of the way at the start of the episode. So by all means, the apology, please. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
It should have been a red card, not a yellow. We were too easy on you. Is that the...
You guys gave me a yellow card for putting the Woodville Basketball Club at 11 in Hookie's power rankings. I rescued our entire show because on Saturday night, they went on and won the premiership. They defeated Sturt by 8. Imagine the shame on our brand if we'd left them out. What a rescue mission I performed. And I can see it in both of your eyes as I look down the screen here. You are both saying, thank you, Ben, for everything you have done. Apology accepted, both of you.
Well done,
yeah,
Ben.
Yeah, yeah. Well done, Ben.
Looking into the future, Ben Hook.
Let's talk about some more serious stuff. Not that Woodville's premiership isn't more serious, because that was quite incredible, of course, led by your superstar of last week, Sophie, Jasmine Fijo, and the great Erin Phillips, who I imagine we might just reference again a little bit later in the episode. But the Isaac Rankin saga is about to head into its third day. Mm. It is, well, it's nothing but a bit of a sorry affair, is it? I mean, there's nothing that's going, that nothing good is going to come of it. The Adelaide Football Club is going to lose their star small forward for an extended period of time. Sophie, you've had a couple of days to digest it. Just tell me your thoughts.
I mean, it's a huge issue in the AFL at the moment, isn't it? I don't think we can let a homophobic slur, or an alleged homophobic slur, I should be saying, just go unheard and unnoticed. And I really do think it needs, I've got to be honest, Ben, I think it needs a harsh penalty. I mean, there's no open gay footballers out there, and I think that's a real issue. And I think we need to appreciate it. We need to get that respect out there, and he needs the harshest penalty. I'm sorry.
I think you're kind of right. I think you've actually stumbled across what I'm thinking about it as well. I mean, I'm actually not entirely surprised that this is happening at all, Soph. This is the fourth homophobic slur that's been dished out in the last 12 months. There's going to be, we would presume, a fairly significant penalty alongside what we've seen in the past. But I compare it against racism, I suppose. And racism's been a huge hurdle for the AFL to deal with in the past. And 10% of the league, of the AFL, are Indigenous footballers. Now, you've just said it yourself. There's zero openly gay footballers. So this is completely off the radar. For to have a teammate who's homosexual just doesn't happen in AFL football. To have a teammate who's Indigenous happens routinely in AFL football. And it's taken two decades to bring racism under control at AFL football. So I think this is going to be an issue. I think it's going to be an issue for a long time. Education's going to be, it will have to continue. The penalties are going to keep coming. I do think that there's a legitimate argument about, is missing games of football the right penalty for this sort of indiscretion? That's something that I imagine the AFL is going to have to look at going forward. So, for example, Soph, there are AFL footballers on 1, 2, 3 strikes right now in playing in the AFL, and their identities are protected and they're still going on and playing. It's just something that is kept between the club doctor and the player themselves. And I just wonder to the extent to which the use of illicit drugs can be kept completely secret, and a homophobic slur in the heat of the moment like this, I'm not trying to defend Isaac Rankin one iota, but whether that penalty of 4 or 5 weeks or whatever it's going to be marries up. I think it's going to be an interesting topic of discussion. But yes, the education programs that you would imagine these AFL footballers are going through is just they're going to have to double down on it and continue to try and educate, because this is an issue that just isn't on any AFL footballer's radar. None of them deal with homosexual people on a routine basis, because there just isn't any in men's football. It's not uncommon in women's football, but that's something that they're going to have to deal with going forward. Education of the fact that this is hurtful behaviour for people that you don't generally deal with.
100%, Ben. And I think it's a good point. It's no openly gay people that we are aware of, but I mean, if this kind of language is being used around in the locker rooms, why would you ever come out? Why would you ever feel comfortable to do that? And I think that's a real issue. I've got a lot of friends that are gay, and I agree with your point about the use of illicit drugs is a really good point, and the penalty is going to be interesting, that's to say the least. But I do think it needs to be a harsh penalty, but it's a good point about whether or not that should be playing rights or whether or not that should just be a fine, because this is going to have a huge impact on the club.
I mean, if it's going to be a fine, it would have to be a significant fine, wouldn't it? It would have to be 3-4 months worth of wages, which for an 100%. AFL footballer on $600,000-$800,000 a year might be about the mark. Maybe I'm probably overstepping it a little bit. But anyway, look, I think we're across it. I think it's going to be fascinating to see where the penalty ends up. But yes, the AFL took ages to overcome racism when you've got Indigenous footballers all throughout your competition. I just don't know how they're going to be able to try and manage this. It's going to be a problem going forward. Bit of news floating around. I want to share with you a story. I know you've got a cracking story from racing as well. Richard Hill has stepped down as the coach of the Mount Gambier Pioneers. He's had an incredible run over about 15 years as coach of the team. 5 straight Southeastern ABL premierships, won 3 national titles. So this is the level below the NBL. It's sort of morphed into NBL 1 now, and there's a fascinating history to it all. He actually was a premiership coach in the Central ABL going back in 2004 when he coached the Eastern Mavericks to a flag back then. But the Mount Gambier Pioneers are a wonderful story in their own right. They're the club that 5 years ago no one wanted. So there was the SEABL competition that was disbanded, and they formed the Victorian NBL 1 competition. And the Vic said, "Now you're Mount Gambier, you're South Australian, you can't play." And so they said, "Oh, all right, well, can we go and play in the South Australian League?" And the South Australian club said, "No, you can't play in our league either." So here they were, this very, very successful organisation out of the SEABL, who had no place to play whatsoever. Eventually, they cut a deal to go and play in the Adelaide League for 1 year. They lost the grand final that year, but it was remarkable how many players they had to cull for the competition to accept them. They then tried to go and play in New Zealand, and they were told by Basketball Australia they couldn't play there either. And eventually, after all of that, they were settled back into the Victorian NBL 1 competition. So it's been this incredible melodrama of this club. But all throughout, Richard Hill has been this steadfast leader of this organisation that for a tiny little, it's not a hamlet, it's a big town, I suppose, but mixing it amongst all of the Victorian clubs and being remarkably successful is an outstanding achievement. He'll actually coach a combined team against the Adelaide 36ers as his final game in Mount Gambier in a week or two's time. So I just wanted to commend Richard Hill on everything he's done for South Australian basketball, in particular via the Mount Gambier Pioneers.
No, I love that, Ben. Richard Hill, definitely someone to be celebrated, and a good change of pace from the start of our podcast. I've actually got to come back with you and celebrate Maggie Collett. It's her first start as a trainer. She takes her debut as a dual license holder. She recently trained and she rode just like Lisa in a 1,250-meter race. They got third at the turn, Ben, and lost a plate and faded to finish last. But what an outstanding showing. Her partner is Justin Pickering, a trainer in his own right, and they're likely to go into a partnership when her riding career concludes. She's one of 3 women in Australia right now with the dual license, and it's just something that I think we should really be celebrating on this podcast.
She is a wonderful story, Maggie Collett. Out of Victoria, came to South Australia to be part of the incredible Apprentice Academy we have here. She actually was part of Sport SA's Moment of the Year last year. There was her and five others, Kayla Crowther, Rochelle Milnes, Alana Livesey, Caitlin Jones, and Felicity Atkinson. The six of them combined to ride the entire card at Morphettville at a race meeting on a Saturday in August last year. I think it might have been August 9 from memory. It was the first time in Australia that women had ridden the entire card at a Saturday meeting. So Maggie Collett has all that to take with her wherever she goes in her racing career, but now as a trainer as well. It's an incredible story. Yeah, just like Lisa, I watched the race, actually. It looked really good. Got a beautiful run up the inside, but then cast a plate, as you perfectly described. And, yeah, faded to finish last. But she's won that horse, just like Lisa, has won seven times. She's ridden four of those seven winners. So, yeah, she's going to be an incredible story for a long term in South Australian racing. Good on her. And little Justin Pickering, I say little. I know him. He was a cricketer at Glenelg as a youngster in the juniors when I was playing back in the day. So I wish them both all the very best. Incredible story, the pair of them. Just a couple of other little things that are going on. One sport that we haven't talked about much is South Australian volleyball. The State League Grand Finals were on the weekend. USC Lion won the Women's State League title. They've gone back-to-back, so congratulations to them. Austral Phoenix won the men's title. They also went back to back. So that's a quick roundup of what's happening in local South Australian volleyball. Just want to point out that Todd Charlton, an umpire in the Riverland League, has umpired his 650th game as an umpire up there in that competition as well. Could you imagine doing 650 games as an umpire, Soph? I mean, I couldn't imagine playing over my whole life 650 games of sport, but imagine copping all of that abuse 650 times in a row. Well done, Todd Charlton. What a story.
Yeah, great story. Can't imagine coughing 650 games of abuse. And it's just weeks on end, I would imagine.
Just one more before we wrap up. Can I just share the story of the North Eagles that I told you that I was going to talk about last week? I'm going to keep this short and sharp here. North Adelaide and Eagles are two independent lacrosse clubs who have merged at state league level only, which is really unusual. It actually happens a little bit in lacrosse down in the lower grades. So you might have a team that can't fill the numbers and another club that can't fill the numbers in the same grade. So they combine and they form a team and they go on to play Division Two or something along those lines. Well, this happened in the women that they decided to amalgamate just their state league teams at the top level. The women played in 2022 and then the men on the back end of the women deciding to merge said, hey, you know what? That's not a bad idea. We'll merge as well. Now, North Adelaide were already in the state league at the time, whereas for the men, neither Eagles or North Adelaide were. So the men, 2022, they finished third. They did incredibly well. 2023, they won it. They won the state league. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. The absolute champions of the competition were Brighton. They blew them away in a grand final. 3 months later, they disbanded. They'd segregated and gone their own ways. In the meantime, the women have continued on. They're in their fourth year together now. They're at the end of their fourth year. They have never won a game in 4 years, and they are sticking it out. And I think it would be wrong for us as a podcast celebrating South Australian sport not to celebrate the resilience of the North Eagles women in the state league competition, who continue to front up. They continue to get blown away every week, but they keep turning up, playing, and giving it their absolute best. So I, for one, am going to celebrate the North Eagles Lacrosse Club. And you and I, Soph, and you as well, Wallace, the day that they win, we are going to have one almighty celebration. They will win a game one day, and I look forward to it. But I just want to give some love to the North Eagles State League women. 4 years, no wins. It's coming soon, girls. Stick with it.
No, I love that, Ben. Sport is all about participation and determination, and I think that's a beautiful story.
We're going to get into Sophie Starr and Ben's best very shortly, but first of all, we do need to just pass on our condolences to you, Soph, and the entire Hilditch family on the passing of your grandfather, Bob Simpson. We've talked about him a couple of times in this podcast. He passed away very peacefully on Friday. I know you'd caught up with him in the last few days, Soph. He has been an incredible contributor to Australian cricket. What he has done has been surpassed by pretty much no one in the game in its history as a player and as a coach. It's a remarkable legacy he leaves. So I'm sure you are so proud of what he has done. I'm sure you're very, very sad about his passing. Just on behalf of Wallace and myself, I just want to offer our condolences and just say vale Bob Simpson, and what an incredible contributor he's been to Australian sport, mate.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah, the love and the support my family's received over the past weekend has been beautiful, and we've really appreciated it. The stories that have come out about Papa have been unremarkable, and yeah, he'll be sorely missed, but we are extremely proud of what he achieved in his life, just not as a cricketer, but also as a grandfather. So thank you, Ben.
It's time to see which athletes have been selected this week in Sophie's Star and Ben's Best.
Oh, Hookie, I've got a good one for you this week. I've gone
in. You have a good one every week, Soph.
All right, well, they're all good, Ben, but I'm really proud of this one. I've gone Indy Pennelly. She's just won the Narelle Smith medal for her outstanding season in Division 3 footy playing for Pembroke. She's won this season, Ben. She's won best player for the game 11 times. She only played a total of 14 matches. How unbelievable was that?
So let's have a word. We're going to get Indy on and ask her what she did wrong in the other three.
Yeah, exactly. Something went wrong in your other three. But now correct me if I'm wrong here, Ben, because I know you're the cricket guru and I wouldn't want to take over that mantelpiece. But Indy also plays cricket for Kensington in the senior division. She actually only just made the Cricket Australia Under-16 National Championship Team of the Year back in January 2025. I mean, what can't this young woman do? A dual sportsman, and she's really reaching top heights at the moment in both sports.
I think she's just been selected in the Australian under-19 team as a 16-year-old. So that is quite incredible as well. Her father, Jamie, legend of Kensington Cricket Club, was picked in their all-time greatest team. He coaches that team. He's the captain of the Australian over-40s team. So the pedigree, you know, clearly runs deep. But I did not know anything about Indy being a footballer, and the fact that you've shared with us that she won that Pembroke medal is quite incredible, Soph. So what a superstar. And who knows where she'll go, because I'd love to see her play cricket, of course, and go on and play for the South Australia women's team and beyond. But who knows? She might make it as a footballer. Division 3 is not a bad standard these days.
No, 100%. She's actually also the first queen, so the first Pembroke player to win in history to win that league medal. So just an incredible achievement.
Can I move on to Ben's Best and share with you about Jesse Moore, who has a skill named after him, named in his honour. So you've probably heard, Soph, if you do an axel or a double axel or a triple axel in skating, then that is named in honour of the person who performed it first, and that was someone called Axel, right? Well, now there is a manoeuvre on a pommel horse called the Moore, and it's named after our very own South Australian Jesse Moore. He's a bit of a star, Jesse. Went to the 2024 Paris Olympics, did that on the back of winning both the Australian Championships and the Oceania Championships. He then made the final of the all-around. I think he's the first Australian male and the first South Australian male ever to make it through to a final, the first Australian male since London 2012. He has this skill, this element of his pommel horse routine, and I'm going to give it the technical term. He basically does a one-handed spinning handstand. Now, that's not really the technical term, as you would understand. But basically, he's doing a one-handed handstand on a pommel horse, and he spins himself around 180 degrees and then moves into the next part of a maneuver. He's going from one move to the next, and the Moore has become the way you transition from one to the other. It's pretty incredible. I've watched it. It's an amazing little maneuver, but can you imagine that forevermore when someone does this part of their routine? You can imagine the commentator going, oh, lovely Moore, did a beautiful Moore maneuver there. So there you are. Jesse Moore has his own move. He is Ben's Best this week.
Oh, that's a great one, Ben. I'm proud of that. But I actually think it could be made better if we could try and get you to replicate the Moore so our listeners can actually see it on the Instagram.
If you gave me a yellow card last week, that will be a definite red card if I tried anything like it.
Worth a shot, Wallace.
Indeed. In Fair or Fast, Sophie and Ben challenge each other with their sporting conundrums. Sophie won the bat flip and is bowling first.
Ben, let's hit the ground running with our first Fair or Fast of the show. Move over Anna Mears. Erin Phillips is now SA's greatest sportswoman. Fair or Fast?
Oh, Soph, that's about the hardest question you have ever put to me. So you want me to pick either Anna Mears or Erin Phillips? I mean, that is brutal. All right, it's probably fair, so long as we're not marginalising all of Anna Mears' achievements. I mean, my goodness, she had a broken neck. And then she went on and won an Olympic gold medal against the English in London. It's still the greatest Olympic moment of my lifetime. And I've seen a lot of incredible Olympic moments. But I have to be honest, I think as I'm thinking about it, while these words are coming out of my mouth, I think for longevity, for brilliance, for the mastery of two completely different sports, Erin Phillips might be the new queen of South Australian sport. It's a pretty fabled story, isn't it? Grew up in the back blocks of Port Adelaide, wanted to play football, was denied the opportunity to do so, turned her attention to basketball, went on to play for the Australian Opals and was a star of the NBA. Comes back when there's an opportunity to play footy, and who knows whether she was going to be any good at it or not, and then became what I think we all agree is the greatest Australian women's footballer of all time. And then she finished her career by captaining her original football club, Port Adelaide. It's an extraordinary career. It's incomparable. Of course, as we referenced at the start of the show, she's been a part of another basketball premiership in the NBL One Central with Woodville. So, yeah, look, it's a tough question, Soph, and I can't believe you asked it. But I think it's probably fair. Mears, you know, if you could have an A-plus for Anna Mears and then give an A double plus for Erin Phillips, I think that's probably where we are. Jeez, that's so tough. I cannot believe you asked me that. And I hope that I have done it some semblance of justice. Okay, so the Thunderbirds have recruited another red hot premiership team. Fair or fast?
Oh, Ben, this is a tricky one. Again, asking me to predict the future, which I never really love doing, if I'm being completely honest. This is not a good start. But look, their recruitment has been pretty strong, I think, this year. And we've got Shamira Sterling-Humphrey coming back from pregnancy in 2026, which I think is going to be huge for the team. We discussed that in one of our earlier podcasts. And, I mean, she's an outstanding player. And I bet you the girls cannot wait to have her back in the team. I've also got to admit the New Zealand players are now allowed to play in the league where they didn't used to be able to, because it meant that they weren't able to play for New Zealand in things like the Commonwealth Games. So we've actually got Heffernan, which is a New Zealand vice captain, coming in, who's replacing our dual premiership captain, Hannah Petty. And let's just take a second here to announced that, or obviously not announced, she's already announced it, Ben, but she's obviously decided it's time to call time and she's going to be greatly missed. But I do think Heffernan's going to be a great replacement. And then whilst we're on the bay there, we've got to look at the new South African shooter coming in, which is Vanderberg. She'll be replacing Remelda, who's also called time, that it's cooling time after her 18-season career with the Thunderbirds. She's one of most decorated athletes, and it's going to be a huge ask taking over. But Ben, I think the recruiters have done a great job. We look like we're getting some fresh people in, but it's going to be a huge ask for them to become premiership winners again. But I'm liking where it's heading, so I think I'm going to go fair. It's taken me a while to get to that fair. I'm sorry. I've just spitted out a bunch of facts at you.
Fast for me. You make it a lot of very good points, but I just feel like the loss of Remelda Aiken-George to retirement is such a massive blow. Goal shooters ratcheting up the score with high percentages is generally a non-negotiable in super netball. And Adelaide, as much as I love the recruits that you've referred to, Soph, I think we'll miss Remelda Aiken-George more than they would care to admit right now. Love to see him win it, but I just don't know that lacking that really tall, strong goal shooter who can collect a lot of ball and make a lot of baskets from underneath the net, That's something that they are missing right now, and they're going to have to deal with it in the short term.
Yeah, good point, Ben. Well, why don't we go straight back for round two, straight back at you. $22 per ticket. Entry into the SANFL footy is too expensive. Fair or fast?
Oh, it's a lot of money, isn't it? $22 to go and see a game of SANFL football, and it's supposed to be the inclusive and the adaptive game that everyone has access to, unlike the AFL. And I noticed that they're selling AFL football tickets for $7 at the moment. You can go on Thursday night to see Carlton play Essendon for $7. Essendon played St Kilda last week. It was a $7 entry fee as well. $22 for an SANFL game, $7 for an AFL game. I know it's a bit of an unusual promotion, but that strikes me as a little bit out of kilter. I actually feel like SANFL football, Soph, is ripe for some disruption right now. They should be starting to think about how they can promote themselves better than just playing games on a Saturday afternoon and a Sunday afternoon. They've got to start to come up with being a lot more creative as an organisation. I know that Darren Chandler does a wonderful job running that league, and they're not blessed with heaps of funds, but this is a league that I think with a little bit of creativity and some thinking outside the box could be a really incredible competition. Could they play a country round? Could they play shorter midweek games earlier in the year? So let's get outside of the box of where the AFL is. Could you play a Wednesday night game that was 16-minute quarters and just allow families to get there and see it in the twilight in March and still be home at 9:30 p.m.? Could you have a super goal for players kicking a goal from outside 50? Could you have 16 players on the field and six on the interchange bench? Think about how you might want to engage a 10-year-old kid to parrot for West Adelaide rather than the Crows. Come up with some stuff that's creative that gives the AFL something to think about. I think nothing should be off the table. So, look, I think it's fair what you have said. It's too much to pay for that type of, that level of competition. But at the same time, if you want to keep it at $22, let's start creating some value into the competition and start to try and appeal to new markets. And that's what I reckon is in front of the SANFL now, because you can't rely on the Crows and Port Adelaide. The crowds are poor when Port and the Crows turn up. How can you pivot? How can you turn yourself into a more interesting competition? I think it's something that the SANFL should definitely be thinking about. You got any thoughts on that?
I love this, Hookie. You always come at me after these questions, and you've actually given me more creativity and you've given me more ideas to be able to improve the SANFL or make it more interesting, kind of almost skipping over the question of the cost of the price of the ticket, if I'm being completely honest, just sitting on the fence. I like this. I'm sorry, that wasn't the question. How could we, you know, evolve this and make it worth the $22?
Wallace, I'm almost lost for words. I've been found out.
I'm almost seeing another yellow card, Ben.
Politicians have made a living out of not answering the question they were asked, just saying what they really want to get off their chest. And that's what I got off my chest, Soph, and you're just going to have to live with it. I'm going to come up with one more for you to round us out. And it relates back to what we talked about at the top of the show. For a league determined to stamp out racism and misogyny, signing Snoop Dogg to perform at the AFL Grand Final is the height of AFL hypocrisy. Fair or farce?
Oh, Hookie, look, it's a hard one for me because Snoop Dogg is actually my era, so I can remember listening to Snoop Dogg, but, I mean, we've got to look at some of his lyrics and they're completely misogynistic. Now, he did back in, I reckon, maybe 2023, and he's openly spoken about it and he's openly said he's reformed. But these songs still feature in his set list. He still continues to make a personal revenue from these songs. It's not like he's gone, okay, well, every single time I play this song, all these funds are going to go towards some charity which is helping, you know, support women in violence. He hasn't done any of that. And I think at the moment, like we spoke about at the top of the show, the AFL has a serious issue at the moment to do with misogynism, racism, homophobic. I just don't think Snoop Dogg is who we should be celebrating at the halftime show, particularly in the current state of AFL. We have to look at, well, it's going to be hosted at the MCG. And in Victoria alone, in the last 4 weeks, We've had five women allegedly killed by men, and then you're going to put Snoop Dogg on at the MCG. Our history and Australia, I don't know about you, Hookie, but my family's always sat around that couch and watched that halftime show, watched the grand final. We have so many kids watching this, and I'm just scared if they're the songs he's going to play. I'm just worried for it. It's not, in my head, it's not the role model that I would want being showed in this current climate. So I'm going to have to go with Fair.
I have not another word to offer. So beautifully spoken.
In Hookie's Power Rankings, Ben reviews every state National League team based in South Australia. Perform well and you're a chance to make the top 10.
Here is the top 10. It's a top 10 after the feedback that I received last weekend. In 10th position, Seacliff Hockey Club, the men that defeated Port Adelaide 5-2. Can I just make the point? South Australian hockey competition is 3 weeks into the 8-week final series. That's not bad. You know, we were talking about whether we could maybe go to a final 10 in the AFL. Well, they've got 8 teams in the competition. All 8 made the finals and it goes for 8 weeks. My goodness. I'll get old by the time that's over.
I actually had to ask my brother recently. He plays for the Metro Ones for Adelaide. And I said to him, I was like, I want to go watch you play the finals, but you just have to explain how the hell the finals are still going at the moment. So he sat me down and explained the whole... It's quite complicated. It's a long paragraph and I'm not going to read it out. I'm still confused.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm actually supportive of it. I think it is great the way that they are trying to involve... traditionally, South Australian hockey has had 4 haves and 4 have-nots, and they're trying to engage the 4 have-nots a bit more, and I don't really have a problem with that. Maybe this isn't ideal, but I do understand what they are trying to do. Anyway, they are at 10, Seacliff Hockey Club. In 9th position, I've got the Adelaide Hockey Club women. They defeated Grange Royal 7-0, as we've already referred to in the 3rd week of the 8-week final series. In position number 8, I've got the West Adelaide Basketball Club, the men. They have won the NBL 1 Central title. They defeated Central District, stunned everyone to win that title. Central District, I think, were very, very hot favourites to win their title for the first time. They've come from 5th West Adelaide to win it. It's the second time they've done it under their coach, Dean Nyberg, who was someone who I wonder whether might be starting to be thought about as a potential NBL coach, because he's had an incredible record with the Bearcats. In 7th position, I've got Metro Stars in the NPL competition for soccer. They had a draw with Para Hills last weekend. They were 4-2 up in extra time, and they managed to concede 2 goals. So they dropped down the order a little bit. In 6th position is West Adelaide. They had a week off. This is NPL women's competition. They had a week off as the top team, final 5. So they'll play Adelaide Comets this weekend, and I'd expect them to win that pretty comfortably. Then I have got in 5th position Old Collegians, who had the bye, but that's the rugby union guys who are just dominating that competition. Brighton Lacrosse Club, the women, they also had a week off. They're in 4th and they stay there. Woodville Basketball Club from 11th to 3rd. Nice that we had them in 11th, isn't it, team? Because it allowed me to move them up to 3rd from outside of the batting order altogether. So congratulations to the Warriors. That's their first ever title. It was only their second grand final. They played a grand final in 1997 and lost it. And this year they've beaten Sturt, who were hot favourites going into that game. So congratulations to the Warriors. In 2nd position is Sturt. They're 17 straight with a win over West Adelaide last weekend. They're aiming for 30 straight minor round victories. It's a remarkable story. This will be a dynasty we'll be talking about for a long time. And then at number 1 with their 8th straight victory, the Adelaide Crows, top of the table, heading towards the minor premiership with a win over North Melbourne. They have been incredible. They are top once again in Hookie's Power Rankings, Wallace and Soph. Any complaints, you guys? There'll be a long list, I imagine.
No, I'm pretty happy with those ones. I think I'm a bit shocked with Crow still going there. You were a bit pessimistic last week about whether or not they'd beat Collingwood, and I was actually the one completely positive. And look at them go. What a great game.
They were hardly dominant. I mean, they conceded 71 inside 50s and still fell in. I don't know that that's the game that they'll say, oh, yeah, this just proved that we were careering away towards a win. And look, we've got to accept that Adelaide's probably going to have to do it from here without Isaac Rankin. Collingwood have got a few to come in, most notably Bobby Hill, who's a Norm Smith medalist, a genius in a grand final. So I don't know. I don't know that I feel any better about Adelaide after that victory than I did beforehand. And I'm starting to think Geelong, who beat your mob, Wallace, are the probably the ones to beat right now.
Yes, indeed. They certainly did beat the Swans. No surprises there. Great show, Soph and Ben. Hookie picks up his second yellow card in Fair or Fast. Who knows what will happen next week? What are you guys looking forward to over the next week?
Guys, I reckon what we're going to have to talk about at some point is the challenges around concussion and concussion management. It's a really hotbed issue in South Australian sport at the moment. There was an article in the paper on Tuesday relating to the Mitchum Hawks, who wore helmets that are designed to protect footballers from the effects of concussion. There are some people who think that these are really effective. There are other parts of South Australian medical expertise who think that they do nothing whatsoever. So I reckon that's something that, not that we're experts in it, I'm not going to offer an opinion on it. Sophie, I don't expect you necessarily will be able to either. Wallace, you're a lot more in this space and you might be across it a little bit more, but I just reckon that's a bubbling issue at the moment. How do you manage concussion? I don't know. And I don't know that anyone really does know either, but it is a big market at the moment. And I think that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, very interesting, Hookie. Definitely not my area of expertise, but I'm very interested in getting better acquainted with concussions and how we can help fix it.
We have got a special episode in the can as well, team. We're going to catch up with Reagan Denton in the next couple of days, a teammate of yours, Soph, someone who I'm pretty sure that has reached the dizzying heights of representing Australia in the couple of months on the basis of the fact that you have held her hand every step of the way. So we do want to congratulate Reagan Denton on what she has done. We're going to have a conversation with her and her coach, Adrian Wickstein, very shortly. But let's just cut to the chase. So congratulations on everything you've achieved for Reagan. It's remarkable, mate.
Oh, thank you, Hookie. And I'm sure in this upcoming interview, she's just going to tell everyone that it was all me. It was all my captaincy. I'm sure that's about to happen. But no, all jokes aside, I'm so proud of Reagan. It's been incredible to watch. I've known her since, I reckon, she was only about 11 or 12. So I'm looking forward to interviewing her, Hookie.
I've got no doubt that you are. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of leading questions on who are the people that have really seen you on the way through to stardom. Who's been the ones that, in particular, don't think about the big name people, just the rank and file people who've held your hand on the way through?
You've just got to ask the right questions, Hookie, to get the answer that you want. That's all I need to do.
That stumps on another episode of Hooked on Sport. We appreciate you listening and trust you enjoyed the show. Help us reach more sports-minded people just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company next week on Hooked on Sport.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd encourage you to take a listen to Beyond the Club. It's a project I've been working on with Flinders University. Now I co-host it with Professor Sam Elliott, and we break down all the latest research on how to maximise the experience of junior and club athletes. There's a range of resources, special guests, and cutting-edge info on how you can make your club a safer, happier place for your kids and their club mates. Beyond the Club, wherever you get your podcasts.